I may not look it, but I'm pretty handy around the house with certain things. When something breaks, I can usually fix it. Especially if I get a little help from YouTube videos. It's amazing what you can learn online. I can install an electrical outlet. I can caulk around the bathtub. I can paint a wall. I can fix a leaky faucet, at least some of the time. But there are certain jobs that I know that I can't handle. Anything involving natural gas. No interest in that. Live electricity. I have no interest in burning down our house. Anything up on the roof. I'm not going up there. I'm not Santa Claus. I don't have any need to be up on the roof. Any job that requires lifting more than 75 pounds. Because I don't need to prove anything, right? Part of wisdom is knowing when you are in over your head and when to ask for help. And so that is true with home improvement, but it's even more so true in our spiritual lives. There are certain problems that we can't fix ourselves. There are certain things that we need to call in a professional to help us with. During Advent, I've been talking about reasons that Jesus came, who Jesus came for. We've talked about Jesus came for the overwhelmed. Last week, Jesus came for those in spiritual bondage. And today, Jesus came for sinners like us. And sin is a problem that we can't fix on our own. Sin is too big. It's too messy. Sin is too dirty and heavy and deep. It's too dangerous for us to handle ourselves. We sin any time that we hurt someone else. We sin any time we disobey or dishonor God. Sin is anything that we say or think or do for selfish reasons. And if you stop to think about it, there are a lot of things that we do for selfish reasons. We need somebody qualified. We need somebody experienced, someone who is willing to get his hands dirty to help us to deal with our sin problem. And we all have a sin problem. Above all else, this is why Jesus was born. This is why he came into the world. It's why that little baby was born in Bethlehem so long ago and why Jesus grew up to be a teacher and a leader and then why he died on the cross and why he rose again. So we're going to look at a story today from Jesus' ministry. And it's a story about Jesus, but even more so, I think this is a story about a sinner. And the sinner's name was Levi. The story comes in Luke chapter 5. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." We know Levi better as Matthew. You've heard of Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, wrote the first of the four Gospels. But before meeting Jesus, Matthew, or Levi, was a tax collector, which marked him in that culture, in that time, as a bad guy, as someone you didn't want to ever run into. And as the Pharisees called him, a sinner. He was spiritually sort of an outcast. Not someone that respectable people would spend any time with. You see, in Jesus' time, tax collector was not like an IRS agent. We need to get that image out of our mind. He was not sort of a government accountant. No, a tax collector in Jesus' time was more like Rocky. You remember the movie Rocky? Before Rocky gets his shot at the title, you remember what his job was? He was a collector for a bookie. And so people would place their bets with the bookie, and if they couldn't pay up, if they lost their bet, Rocky's job was to go and collect from them. And, of course, he wasn't polite about that, as you can imagine. Instead, he would rough them up a little bit. He would push them around. He would threaten to break their thumbs. And that was what a tax collector for the Roman Empire was like in the first century. He collected money for the Romans. And if Levi had to push people around a little bit, make a few threats, that was okay. Romans didn't care. They just wanted their money. And so he demanded money from people. He didn't listen to excuses. He didn't offer mercy. And like most tax collectors, Levi probably collected a little extra for himself, gave the Romans what they needed, and he lived on the excess, which meant that Levi and all of his other tax collecting friends were quite wealthy. And people hated them for it. It was a dirty business. It was immoral. Even though it was a job, even though he was working on behalf of the government, what he was doing was, in fact, wrong. He was taking advantage of poor people. He was taking advantage of those who couldn't stand up for themselves. And he did it all on behalf of the brutal Roman Empire, the same folks who would later crucify Jesus. So why in the world, knowing all of that, why in the world would Jesus hang around with a tax collector? Why would Jesus invite Levi to follow him? Maybe the Pharisees had a point. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? It's not right. Respectable people don't do this. But you see, that is just the point of this story, and it's really the point of the gospel, and it's really the point of why Jesus was born, why he came into the world, and what his mission was. And it's where we're going to begin today. It's also where we'll come back to at the end, that Jesus came for us because he knows that we are sinners. Jesus knows we're sinners. Jesus wasn't surprised to learn that Levi was a bad guy. He wasn't naive about what tax collectors did. Jesus wasn't the first time that he had seen a tax booth. It wasn't the first time that he had encountered a tax collector. Jesus knew exactly who Levi was when he said to him, "Follow me." But you see, this is the point of the story. Levi was not secretly some kind, generous person that Jesus brought out from behind the tax collector's booth, and everybody was wrong about Levi. No, they were right about Levi. He was a terrible person. He was a sinner. He was a dirty, cheating tax collector. And Jesus invited him to come follow me. You see, this is exactly why Jesus called him. Because Jesus knew that he was a sinner. And we need to be honest about this. You see, most of us here in this room are more like the Pharisees than we are like Levi. We're decent, respectable people. Sorry to break it to you. You are. I know most of you pretty well. You're good people. You don't cheat or lie or steal or hurt people, at least not very often. We aren't gang members. We're not drug dealers. We don't earn a living by taking advantage of poor people. All right, maybe we stretch the truth every now and then. Maybe we think unkind thoughts about certain people some of the time. Maybe we cut a few corners. Maybe we lose our patience every now and then. We aren't perfect. Not saying anyone here is perfect. But we are not low-down, dirty sinners like some people are. Right? Except that we are. Jesus knows I'm a sinner. Jesus knows you're a sinner too. I'm not going to ask you to confess what your sin is, but He sees it all. He knows who you are. He knows the deep, dark secrets that no one else knows, and Jesus knows the big public failings that everybody knows. Jesus knows it all. Levi also knew the truth about himself. He wasn't afraid to admit that he needed help, that he needed what Jesus was offering. And so when Jesus says to Levi, "Follow me," it says that Levi left everything and followed. He left his tax collecting booth. He left his money. He left his old way of life. He left all of that, all of those things that made him who he was, and he followed Jesus because Jesus offered Levi what Levi knew that he needed. Just as I hope, that we can say about ourselves the same sort of thing, that we follow Jesus because we know that we are sinners. That's why we follow Jesus, I hope. You see, the Pharisees thought that God loved them because they tried to do everything right. That was what made the Pharisees. They did things the right way, and that's why God loved them. They memorized the rules, and they followed the rules, and they made up new rules, and they specialized in making sure that they and everyone else around them knew and followed and understand and lived by the rules all the time because they were all about the rules and about being right. In fact, the Pharisees became one of the worst things that anyone can ever be, and that is self-righteous. Self-righteous. They thought they had it all figured out. They had it all under control. They thought that they didn't need anybody because God loved them just the way they were. Because they were right, and because they followed the rules. You see, if the Pharisees had been right in their view of the spiritual world, and their view of their relationship with God, if they had been right, then Jesus didn't need to be born. If they had been right, then Jesus didn't need to come into this world, because self-righteous people don't need a Savior. They don't need anything or anybody. God loves me because I'm so great. And there are a lot of people, not in this church, but there are a lot of people who think and act and live like the Pharisees. Levi, on the other hand, he knew that he wasn't great. Levi knew who he was. He knew that he had a big problem in his life with sin. You see, the difference between Levi and the Pharisees is not that Levi was a terrible, horrible person, and the Pharisees were great, perfect people. That was not the difference. The real difference between them is that the Pharisees could not or would not admit the truth about themselves, that they were also sinners, and that they did, in fact, need a Savior. Levi knew. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he needed a Savior, and Jesus came for sinners. And so I hope we're like Levi. I hope we understand that we are sinners and that we need the Savior. Now, Levi also knew other sinners, and so after meeting Jesus, he decided that he was going to throw a big party for all of his friends, and he invited all of those sinner friends to come to join him at this party so that they could meet Jesus too, which is a beautiful, amazing act of love. The Pharisees didn't like it at all, but it was this amazing, beautiful thing that Levi did. Levi was so excited about Jesus, so happy that he had finally found what he knew that he needed and that his life was going to change. He was so overjoyed at the grace that Jesus was offering him that he couldn't help but share it. And he happened to know a whole bunch of other people who also needed what Jesus was offering. I hope that we have not gotten too comfortable in our faith like the Pharisees had. I hope that we haven't gotten too used to being saved, too focused on being the good people who God loves, that we forget that Jesus came for sinners. And I hope that we still have the same joy that Levi had, that joy that inspired him to throw a big party so that people could meet Jesus. You see, we share Jesus with others because we know that they are sinners. We know that people around us are sinners. Now, that may not be the best opening line for evangelism, right? Oh, I see that you're a terrible sinner. I'd like you to meet Jesus. That may not be the best opening line, but the first step in evangelism is to remember that people are sinners. That people need the Savior. They need forgiveness. They need the new life that only Jesus can give them. Sinners don't become perfect, happy, nice people first. Jesus doesn't say to Levi, Levi, you need to really change yourself. You need to really get everything right in your life, and then we can talk about whether you can follow me. No, Jesus goes right to follow me as he's looking at a sinner, as he's looking at a terrible person. Come and follow me. Sinners' lives are messy and they're dirty and they're broken and they're sad. They do not walk into the church polished up and smiling. They don't. Sinners may even like their sin. Most sinners are good at sinning. Just like we are still good at particular sins that we haven't yet gotten over. We share Jesus with people because they are sinners. We share Jesus with people because they have problems, because they're broken, because their lives are filled with pain. And as we do, of course, we need to remember that we're no better. I'm a dirty, broken sinner, too. And I'm looking at a room full of them. And that's what the Pharisees couldn't admit. They ridiculed Jesus. They wrote him off. He eats with the tax collectors and sinners. I'm not going to be like that. And so Jesus said to those who ridiculed him, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I did not come to call the righteous," or we could read there, the self-righteous, "but sinners to repentance." And that brings us back to where we started, back to why Jesus was born. Jesus came for us because he knows. He knows that we're sinners. And that's what Christmas is all about. That is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. That God knows we're sinners. God knows we have needs. God knows we're broken. God knows that we can't fix ourselves. And so he sent us the Savior, who is the only one who can fix all of those terrible problems of sin in our life. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I'm sure, but I'm going to say it right now, that you can boil the entire Bible down to two important truths. The first is the depravity of man, and the second is the grace of God. In other words, we are sinners, and we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. This is why he came into the world. We rejoice that Jesus came to be our Savior, that he came for tax collectors. He also came for self-righteous Pharisees. Jesus came for the gang members. Jesus came for the crooked politicians. Jesus came for people who lie and cheat and steal. Jesus came to save sinners like us. And so we rejoice in that today. Let's bow our heads. Father, we give you thanks that you love us, That you see our sin, you see our brokenness, you see all that we are, and you still love us, Lord. You sent us the Savior, and so we give you thanks today for your grace. And I pray that you'd help us to share this grace, this love, this good news with other sinners, to invite them to come and find the Savior too. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you look on us not at the brokenness and the sin, but you see past that. You see us as those who have been redeemed and saved by Jesus. And so, Father, help us to walk with that good news and that grace as we go through this Christmas season. We pray this in the name of our Savior who was born and lived and died and rose again, Jesus our Lord.